بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا عاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Many years ago, if we had a question about Islam, or if we wanted to connect with our deen, with our religion, normally we would have a few options. So we would turn to a trusted author, perhaps, in his or her books. We could perhaps consult an Islamic library, like the one we have here at the ISK. Perhaps we would listen to some lectures on cassettes and CDs. Or we would turn to a trusted scholar, a trusted imam for help, or a trusted institution. So for example, if you had a question, you would write to Al-Azhar, for example. For many of us, though, that has changed in a very big way. Through the internet, through sites such as YouTube, we have access to speakers and their lectures from all around the world. Numerous websites that offer fatawa, that offer questions and answers, have appeared. And sometimes even Google is referred to as a mufti Google, because that's where people go fatwa shopping. Right? So if you need to look up something, you Google it and then you see who says what, and then try to figure out which one to follow. You've got satellite channels. There's a number of Islamic satellite channels, TV shows, where there are scholars, imams, preachers on television, where a number of us get our religious information from. There are online courses. So there are a number of sites, institutes, programs that offer courses online. There's also large conferences nowadays, Islamic conferences, which we did not see in the past, where thousands of people, tens of thousands in some cases, will come together. There are also weekend courses and crash courses, intensives that occur on weekends and weeknights and so on. Conventional wisdom would suggest that by having access to so much information, such a burst of information and knowledge, that it would be easier for us to learn about our deen, to learn about our religion, and to practice it. Instead, for many of us, it has just left us confused. Because there is such a wide spectrum of views, approaches, messages coming from different groups, different segments from within the Islamic community. And, sooner or later, we find ourselves in a situation where we have a problem. And we need a question, we have a question that needs to be answered, the problem needs to be solved, we need some guidance. Right? Because at the end of the day, we are all in need of knowledge, we are all in need of guidance at one point or the other in our lives. When it comes to our health, when it comes to our physical health, everyone agrees that the best thing to do is to have a family doctor. Or at the very least, have a family practice where you go to when you get sick. And the reason for that, of course, is that that doctor, the family doctor, or the practice that we visit for our health issues, is familiar with our history, with our background, with our circumstances, with our situation. We know them, their approach, their practices, and there's a bond of trust between the doctor and the patient. Similarly, it's important for us to know who to trust when it comes to religious guidance and religious knowledge. So if I have a question, if I have a problem that I need assistance on, who should I turn to? Which scholar, which group, which website, like where should I turn? Should I just go to all of them? Should I, and what do I base my decision on? Right? Because a lot of times they all sound like scholars. Everyone claims to be correct. Nobody says I'm wrong, don't follow me. And if I try to follow all of them, sometimes it's just not possible. Sometimes it's just not possible because Sometimes you find that the messages and the answers are contradictory. There are conflicting positions, and there's a wide range of messages. So the question is, what do I base my decision on? I don't have the knowledge or enough knowledge on every single matter to judge them all. Right? So I don't have the knowledge to judge every single person, every single scholar that's out there that's saying, that has a position. I don't have the knowledge to judge between the spectrum of positions and the spectrum of answers. And if I go with whatever sounds easier to me, so sometimes that's what we end up doing. We're like, okay, we'll just take the easy opinion. If I go with whatever is easier for me, then I may inevitably end up following my nafs, following my desires. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Dawood alayhi salam, وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى فَيُضِلَّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, that follow not your desires, for it will mislead you from the path of Allah. So to base our decisions, what we need to do simply on our desires and what we think is easier, what we think is cool, can take us to that position. So the question then is who do we turn to? And the simple answer is that I can't tell you. Simple answer is that I am not in a position to tell you. The knowledge of our deen, when it comes to our religion and the knowledge of our deen, this is a very important matter. Muhammad ibn Sirin, he's a tabi'i, but someone who has spent time with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, but he's more well known for his dream interpretation. In any case, he says that the knowledge of deen, that this knowledge that we're talking about has to do with your deen, has to do with your religion. So be careful. Be careful. Look at who you are getting your knowledge for your religion from. Because this is something that is important, it is something that is very crucial, and it is not a light matter. So he says, فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. So look at from whom you are getting your knowledge of deen, because this is a serious matter. So just because I'm standing here today, just because I'm standing here today speaking to you, it doesn't mean that, you know, that I can just say that you should follow me in everything that I do and that I'm 100% correct. Right? I don't have the authority to say that, nor do I have the confidence to say that. Or, you know, I can't tell you that you should just follow someone because they appear to be religious. Right? We have our images in our minds of what appears to be religious. So I can't tell you that either. Nor can I tell you that you should follow someone who has studied a lot. So just because someone has a number of degrees or has spent a lot of time acquiring the knowledge of deen, you should simply follow them because of that. Or that you should follow someone because, you know, they speak very well, and when you hear them, you get a type of iman rush. You know, you get this, your iman gets high, and you feel, you know, very passionate about your deen, that you should just follow someone because of that. I can't tell you that because it's you, it's your deen, it's your religion, and you need to decide who you're going to trust and who you're going to look up to. That's not for me to tell you. But what I can help you with, though, is in giving you a framework of how to go about doing that. How do you end up finding the scholar, the imam, the person that you should trust the most? Simple formula, number one, is to read the Qur'an. If you read the Qur'an, and if you note the qualities of the believers, and note the qualities of the pious, ideally, an ideal believer, an ideal Muslim, an ideal mu'min, how should he or she be? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a number of qualities in the Qur'an of those who are believers and those who are pious. So you read the Qur'an and you note those down. Then you read the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you note his qualities. His qualities, his mannerisms, his character. And this is important, because if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was here today with us, then obviously we would all be turning to him for guidance. We wouldn't be going to anyone else. But because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not accessible to us anymore, the next best thing to do is to find those who are closest to him in every possible way. And that includes, you know, how they deal with people, how they speak, how they approach problems, their character, their mannerisms, and all of that. And the purpose of doing that is to build a framework in our minds of how the Prophet ﷺ was. You know, we hear tidbits, a hadith, sayings of the Prophet from here and there and so on. But what's important to do is that we read his biography and we build a framework in our minds so that when we think of the Prophet ﷺ, when we try to imagine the Prophet ﷺ, we have some sort of image, not physical image, but we have an image of his character and how he was in his daily life and in dealing with people and in preaching. Then we search for those who are closest in as many ways as possible, and we try to follow them. Also, there are a number of qualities that are found in the Quran and the Ahadith from the life of the Prophet ﷺ, and here are some that we can use as filters. These are just some possible filters that we can use when we are going through the search and trying to find the best people who we can get our deen from. So the first one, and they're not necessarily in order of importance. The first one is that the person, the scholar, should be good-hearted. And always, or he often wants to do what is good, wants to do what is right, and he wants good for people. He wants good, not only for people, but for everyone. So all the time, the person, the scholar, is looking for what is best. What is best for you, what is best for the ummah, what is best for mankind, and always wants to promote good, and always standing up for what is right and what is good. Secondly is the knowledge of the Qur'an, the knowledge of the Ahadith, and of the related sciences. And knowledge in depth. Knowledge in depth with insight. Right? So it's one to have memorized, you know, verses of the Qur'an, to have memorized certain Ahadith, and to know their translation. But it's another thing to understand when, for example, the verse was revealed. In what context was it revealed? In which context did the Prophet ﷺ say this and say that? What was the meaning of that? How can it be interpreted? How can it be applied? And so on and so forth. So to have knowledge in depth, not just light knowledge that one acquires just by reading a few books or listening to a few lectures. Another very important quality of a good scholar is not to rush in answering questions. Not to rush in answering questions and in giving answers. So to take the time that is required to answer a question. Right? Because when the Prophet ﷺ was asked of a question sometimes by the Sahaba, by his companions, radiallahu anhum, and if he did not know the answer, he would wait for a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would wait for an answer to come, guidance to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he would answer. And the scholar should not be ashamed of saying, "I don't know." Should not be ashamed of admitting ignorance on a matter. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu reports, and it is reported from him, that he said that whoever knows, then he must speak, and whoever does not know, then must say, "I don't know," because to say this is a part of ilm. It's a part of knowledge. So to actually know that a person doesn't know something and to admit it and to tell people that "I don't know the answer to this" is actually a part of being knowledgeable. Because the one who is ignorant is the one who tries to make up answers even though they don't know what the answer is. So if the scholar doesn't know something and if they say "I don't know," then that is a good sign. Also important, of course, is to follow that which is obligatory. So the scholar should be following the fara'id, the things that are obligatory, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, staying away from that which is undesirable, that which is prohibited, and those actions that are dubious or that are considered to be blameworthy. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, of course, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Innama yakhsha Allah min 'ibadihi al-'ulama," that those truly fear Allah among His servants who have knowledge. So the mufassirun, the commentators of the Quran, say that this points to the fact that one of the qualities of the true scholars is that they should be afraid and conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all their actions. And of course, how do you tell that? You don't have, you know, a taqwometer or something that you could go and, you know, close to someone and see how much taqwa they have, right? You can't do that. But taqwa can show through the actions how a person deals with questions, how a person deals with one another, and if they are careful in what they do and what they say due to their consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sincerity is also a huge one. So to be sincere and not want fame or publicity. Right? Not wanting fame or publicity. So if a person wants to acquire the knowledge of deen, wants to be known as a scholar, wants to be known as an imam, as an interested in promoting himself, and you know, finding every opportunity to elevate his name, this is a warning sign. Should not also be looking for worldly benefit. Right? And this is a very important one that is becoming, unfortunately, more and more evident as time goes on. So a lot of times, if you look around, you know, we get the sense that money is a motivating factor. So if someone is interested, if a scholar, an imam is interested in getting rich and getting money from people, so if you need help, okay, you come to me and I expect some payment from you. Or if you have a question, you come to me and you have to pay me for that. Now, it's one thing to pay or to ask for funds for classes, for example, to cover the costs, right, or to cover the needs of the person. That's different. But what I'm talking about is being motivated by increasing one's wealth, right? So you have institutes, or you have, you know, programs that are running, you know, that can be raking in millions of dollars. Right? Millions of dollars that are being raked in through Islamic programs. You know, people who are expecting, you know, some sort of payment when they help people. These are all, you know, warning signs. Or those who are promoting their CDs, for example. Right? So if you want to learn more, you know, buy my CDs or buy my books. Right? So these type of things should be a warning sign as well. The scholar shouldn't be fighting unnecessarily engaging in debates, or, you know, learning or debating to show off their knowledge, or simply to defeat others, to gain the upper hand on others. And this is, you know, another problem we find a lot of times is that, you know, fighting and arguing, something that has become very common. Right? So people want to engage in a debate. People want to engage in debates, they want to engage in some sort of, you know, discussion, polemics, and so on, so that, you know, they can prove that they are right, and they actually enjoy doing that. And that also is a warning sign. A person should not be proud of his knowledge, right? So the scholar should not be going around showing off how much they have learned or what knowledge they have. One of the qualities, another quality, is not to be too close with leaders and with unjust rulers. Because in a number of ahadith, the Prophet ﷺ describes this relationship of being too close with those in power and being close to leaders, that this can be a source of trials, of fitna, and this can be a source of influence as well. So when a person, especially a scholar, a religious scholar, is closely assigned, closely aligned with rulers, and especially unjust rulers, then their objectivity, and especially when it comes to speaking the truth, can be influenced. So that also is an important factor. It goes without saying that the person should be honest, should not be lying, should not be deceiving others, and good manners, and this is very important. Right? To have good manners, so that the person, when you go to sit with them and speak with them, that you don't find them backbiting about others, or mocking others, or making fun of people, and putting down others. This is a very basic quality. We would expect that from everyone. But especially when it comes to our scholars and our imams, this is something of utmost importance. Now, one other, finally, very important quality that especially applies to us today is for the scholar to be familiar with our context and the time and place in which we are operating in. For the scholar to be familiar with our context and the time and the place we are operating in. And this is very important. Because in order to answer a question or to address a concern properly, the scholar needs to know or should know what situation you're in and what the realities of your life are. and what you're going through and what you're experiencing. And that's very important, because all of these things can have an impact on the answer that you receive. So it's very, very important that you get the knowledge of deen, the knowledge of religion, from people who have all of these qualities, but also are aware of your circumstances and of your context. So before we take anyone's word, before we take anyone's word for anything related to our deen, we must look out for all of these things. Whether it's on, you know, it's on TV, on the internet, through speeches, conferences, and so on and so forth. And sometimes this can take time. This can take time. It's almost like a journey, right? It's almost like a journey where you have to sometimes, you know, take months, take years perhaps, in looking around and experiencing different programs, different people, and really searching for those who are closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, it goes without saying, of course, that no one is perfect. No one is perfect, but the goal should be to try to find these qualities and look for the good qualities, right? Sometimes we have our biases and we start finding the negative, we start highlighting the negative qualities in people and overlooking their positive qualities. So look for the positive and try to find the good qualities and make them outweigh those that are negative. And again, because this is not a light matter, this is the most important thing, really, if you think about it, right? The knowledge of our deen, the knowledge of our religion, is the most important thing that will matter once we leave this world, because that's what we're going to be judged on, right? Our beliefs, our actions, and those have to do with our religion. So be very careful about that. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when honesty is lost, then wait for the hour, meaning then wait for the day of judgment. So it was asked, how will honesty be lost, O Prophet of Allah? How will honesty be lost? What do you mean that honesty will be lost? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when authority is given to those who do not deserve it, then wait for the hour. So when authority, and this is broad and can also apply to religious authority, is given to those who do not deserve it, so those who don't deserve to be known as scholars, as leaders, as imams, start becoming those, then you wait for the hour. Umar radiallahu anhu, and this partially comes from a hadith as well, said, a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar radiallahu anhu said that what I fear for my nation is a munafiq, a hypocrite who is scholarly. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, what I fear most for my nation is a munafiq, a hypocrite, who is scholarly, who is like a scholar. So the people asked him, how can a hypocrite be scholarly? You know, they appear to be, you know, contradictory. How can someone who is a hypocrite can be scholarly as well? So he replied, by being scholarly through his tongue and ignorant in his heart and his actions. So when it comes to his words, he can be very scholarly and giving lectures and giving talks and using words to communicate with people. But when it comes to his heart and his actions, he is ignorant. So on the forefront, you have a facade that appears to be very scholarly, very knowledgeable. But deep inside, when it comes to the things that really matter, the heart, the actions, he is ignorant in those. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, protect us all and guide us to the truth, guide us to those who are sincere, and guide us to those who are looking for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who are closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.